Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. And we're back here on Blog Talk Radio. And we hope we're able to have a conversation with Dr. Mel Butler today. He's at a program. He said, I don't know if he'll be able to call in or not. But if he does, you know, we'll pipe him in. But he has some instructions for me, and so I'm going to follow those instructions. First, we always do is we open up the program with readings from Daily Motivations for African American Success. And the reading for the day goes like this. Let the truth be told. It's not your environment. It's not your quality of your mind, integrity of your soul, determination of your will that will decide your future and shape your lives. That's from Dr. Elijah Benjamin Mays, educator and chairman emeritus of Morehouse College. And reading for the day goes like this. Most of us desperately hope to make our mark of events of our lives But how? There seems to be so much unnecessary confusion regarding the truth about success and achievement. What do successful men and women know that so many do not? They know that altitude is determined by attitude. They shoot for the stars. They know that the road to success is a worthy destination. They take chances. They walk to the beat of a different drummer. They come early and stay late. They make the 40-hour work week look like child's play. They dream big dreams and then work on making those dreams come true. They know the law of averages. They know that success is a statistical event. They know that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. They make choices and not excuses. They have strong faith, belief in God, and respect for their fellow human beings. They know they are responsible and they respond with ability. They know their stuff. Today, I know the difference between success and failure, and I will act on what I know. All right, and you know, Dr. Butler's working on this program called the Clean Air Project and Safe Reentry Program. He wanted me to play a piece from 60 Minutes about what's going on with the air that we breathe. And so here's that 60-minute piece.
Pandemic has taught us about preventing the spread of potentially deadly respiratory infections. It turns out viruses like the one that causes COVID-19 can travel through the air much farther than 6 feet. So public health advice focusing on social distancing, hand washing, and masking wasn't enough. Air quality scientists say from the start of the pandemic, it also should have focused on improving the air we all breathe indoors for the health of their workers and the health of their bottom line.
The story will continue in a moment.
The original sin of the pandemic was the failure to recognize airborne transmission.
Professor Joe Allen of Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health believes the rapid spread of COVID in early 2020 was preventable.
Think about the public health gains we've made over the past 100 years. We've made improvements to water quality, outdoor air pollution, our food safety. We've made improvements to sanitation, absolute basics of public health. Where has indoor air been in that conversation? Totally forgotten about. And the pandemic showed what a glaring mistake that was. What do you think was lost because of that lag in understanding of how this was spread? Tens of thousands of lives in the U.S., many more globally? Not an exaggeration.
It's also no exaggeration to say those early days of COVID were unforgettable. In the U.S., by March 2020, the virus began taking its toll in places like the Life Care Center Nursing Home in Kirkland, Washington. 60 miles away in Mount Vernon, Washington, the Skagit Valley Chorale held one of its weekly rehearsals in a church. Half the members stayed away, but the other half showed up. Among them were board members Debbie Amos, Mark, and Ruth Backlund, and Coisey Bettinger.
We just thought hand sanitizer, wash your hands a lot, you know, don't hug each other because that's touch.
None of it was good enough. Within a few days, Chorale members began to get sick. In all, COVID hit 53 of the 61 people there that night. Two of them, both in their 80s, died.
We were going, this has got to be spread some other way, because we were good. We were good.
So COVID was percolating, and you thought you were doing everything you supposed to do.
Yes, right.
Gadsden County health officials said the rehearsal could be considered a super spreading event, one of the earliest in the country, and concluded that choir members had an intense and prolonged exposure to surfaces, droplets, and possibly even microscopic airborne particles called aerosols containing the virus. That caught the attention of Lindsay Marr, a Virginia Tech University professor specializing in aerosol science, and several of her fellow researchers. Even though the medical community was focused on droplets, surfaces, and hand washing, these researchers strongly believed COVID was mostly an airborne disease, needed more proof, so they launched their own analysis.
I thought, wow, this is even worse than I thought. This has to be airborne. There's really no other explanation for it. some people are going to say, oh, they all touch the same doorknob. But after the first few people touch that doorknob, there's no more virus left. That's what happens with our exhaled breath. Now,
Professor Marr used a portable fogger to help explain how so many choir members could have gotten sick.
When they're singing, they are releasing virus particles into the air constantly, probably, like this. And those are going to drift around in the room. Notice they're not just falling to the ground. And now as we continue to sing, there's more and more of them in the room. And you can see as they're drifting around, they're reaching these other people nearby. And for 2.5 hours, and you can imagine that after that amount of time, the other people would have breathed in enough of them to get sick themselves.
Especially if at night the HVAC system was turned off.
As far as we know, it wasn't running, and so there was very poor ventilation in that room when this was all happening.
An HVAC unit, short for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, is the heart and lungs of any building. The researchers suspected the thermostat most likely shut off the HVAC. Chorale members were generating enough heat on their own. Right now, there's no ventilation.
Very, very low. And actually, it's similar to what was in the church where the group was rehearsing.
Then, Professor Marr turned up the circulation to show us how better airflow could have helped remove aerosols and slow the spread of virus.
Instead of just drifting all over the room, you can actually see it, right, going up.
I sure can. That is dramatic.
The analysis led to one of the most significant papers on the importance of ventilation published during the pandemic. Then, last year, a study in Italy went further. It found that by using a school's fans and air ducts to mechanically exchange indoor air with outdoor air 5 times an hour, the risk of COVID-19 infections decreased by at least 80%. But in the U.S., it took until this past May for the CDC to recommend an air exchange rate at all.
If you look at the way we design and operate buildings, and I mean offices, schools, local coffee shop, we haven't designed for health. We have bare minimum standards. In schools, the minimum air change by design is about 3 air changes per hour. Remember, we want at least 4 to 6. If we'd had these indoor air quality targets before the pandemic, how do you think the pandemic would have unfolded differently? We still would have had spread. This isn't an end the pandemic thing. We would have had a lot less of it, and we've had a lot less of these super spreading events. Think about the early days of the pandemic, which flattened the curve. Stay home. Why wasn't improved indoor air quality part of flatten the curve? We had tools to protect ourselves. Masking, great tool. It's a filter. But we ignored the building side of this. So, Aaron,
buildings are Alan's business. As the founder of Harvard's Healthy Buildings Program, he diagnoses problems in air quality systems and comes up with solutions for clients that include CBS's parent company, Paramount, commercial real estate companies like Beacon Capital Partners, with buildings like this one in downtown Boston. And he advised Amazon before these new 22-story towers opened last May in Arlington, Virginia. He gave us a tour.
What does a state-of-the-art building look like in terms of air? We see a lot of the elements in this building. You have a dedicated outdoor air system that's delivering air above the minimum requirements. Then it's going through 2 MERV 13 filter banks. They have highly filtered air.
MERV stands for Minimum Efficiency Reporting Value. A rating of 13 means it catches up to 90% of airborne particles, depending on their size, as the first line of defense, not just against COVID, but other airborne respiratory viruses like flu and RSV.
This is the part of the building nobody ever sees, but this determines whether or not you're healthy or sick in the building. Really, what happens in this space? You can just see the filters on the right here.
At Amazon's new offices, top floor is a maze of motors, pipes, and air ducts.
This is the air intake.
Part of a $2.5 million HVAC system that begins with massive rooftop vents and dampers.
Right here, this is the whole air handling system. This is where the air comes into the building. It's filtered, it's cooled, and then delivered. This determines how much air actually reaches the office space where people are working and how clean that air is.
Downstairs, each floor has a sensor that tells building engineers about the quality of the indoor air, such as levels of carbon dioxide, known as CO2.
We breathe out the carbon dioxide. That's right. The less carbon dioxide, the better the ventilation. Really straightforward. high carbon dioxide means you're not getting enough outdoor air from that system we just looked at. If it's low, you're in good shape. And we also measure particles. That tells us things about, like, outdoor air pollution.
The entire system can be monitored and controlled from the basement.
Remember we talked about carbon dioxide as an indicator for ventilation? Well, I can see in this building, all of these are under 800 parts per million.
So that's good.
That's great and really important. If a lot of people went into a space, the CO2 level would rise. This system would recognize it. Dampers would open up and bring in a lot more outdoor air.
Katie Hughes, Amazon's Director of Health and Safety, pointed to the waves of wildfire smoke that have swept down from Canada as the ultimate test of the indoor air quality system.
Not too long ago, Washington and Virginia were sort of smothered by this smoke coming down from Canada. What happened in this building?
You would expect the air quality within the facility to not be great. Our buildings were performing very well.
Hughes says Amazon has been updating many of its HVAC systems, including in its warehouses. A recent survey of facility managers in the U.S. and Canada found that since March 2020, roughly two-thirds of respondents have upgraded their MERV filters and increased their air exchange rates. In New York City, J.P. Morgan Chase says its new headquarters will have state-of-the-art air quality controls. And this new skyscraper, called One Vanderbilt, already runs a modern HVAC system.
COVID shifted everybody's mindset in terms of air quality, in terms of communicable or infectious diseases.
Are you finding that Amazon is making a business decision, partially, by saying, look, okay for you to come back to work because we're telling you that the air inside this building is safe?
I think it's one of many reasons why we expect or would like people back in the office. That is a good thing to have. It's probably one of many things.
A well-operating HVAC system is not only good for the health of employees, it can be good for the health of companies too, especially with people working remotely, leaving many commercial building owners looking for tenants.
There's empty office space, New York City and elsewhere. How do you think this new thinking might affect that in terms of people even wanting to come to work?
The dynamic has changed. It's a total buyers or tenants market. All else equal, which building are you going to go to? You have your choice right now. This building that put in healthy building controls or this building that's designed where we've always designed buildings and is prone to being a sick building. So it actually can help the bottom line, in addition to, of course, improving health.
Yeah.
What about retrofitting a building that's old? I think it's a misconception that old buildings can't be healthy buildings. Some of these fixes don't take much. Improving the level of filtration, that's easy. It's cheap. Protects against COVID-19, influenza. Also protects against wildfire smoke and outdoor air pollution. Protects against allergens. Simple, absolute basic things that can be done.
The Skagit Valley Chorale rehearsals are now in a different church with a new HVAC system. Doors stay open to bring in fresh air, regardless of the season. And there are even portable carbon dioxide monitors to track ventilation.
We've been through a traumatic experience, and we've tried to learn from that and did help the science with the aerosol study, and now we're moving on in a way that we can still sing, but in a more safe manner.
Do you worry that when the spotlight of the pandemic starts to fade, that people will forget and that they won't act the way they should in terms of buildings?
I'm a bit more optimistic than that. I think there are fundamental shifts that have happened. Scientific and medical literature is being rewritten. The government and standard-setting bodies are setting new health-based standards. Businesses are responding and won't forget what this meant to their employees' health and their business. So I don't think we're going to forget these lessons. We better not.
What we know now about the effectiveness of masking.
Masks, even cloth masks, do something.
At 60MinutesOvertime.com.
Okay, that's the 60-minute special Dr. Butler wanted me to play at the beginning of the show. And hopefully everybody got something out of that. And I see we have two callers on the line. Caller 252-3123. 0627. You're on the air. Question or comment?
Shatali, I'm up here on that 515 number. This is Janice.
Okay. How you doing, Janice?
I'm fine, and you?
Good, good. Question or comment on the...
Do I want to comment on it?
Yeah.
Just thought it was very interesting that they now are saying that, you know, you need air purification to, in all the houses that you can get them in, as far as I'm concerned, to help the get clean air.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what Dr. Butler's doing with his light bulbs. The light bulbs act as an air filtration system for people that purchase them and put them in, install them in their house or their places of work. That's why it's called the Safe Reentry Program. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's go to the other call. Call 443-455-2373. You're on the air. Question or comment?
Just a talk. How you doing, brother? It's Tyree. David Murphy here.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. You know, just to reiterate, you know, this segment that you showed is just proves the point that even government or high officials, things wrong, not just this time, but many times before. But unfortunately, so many of us rely on government, rely on other people. But sometimes, you know, we have to look within sometimes, you know, because we're always looking on the outside, looking for all the answers, but sometimes we have it within ourselves. When I say ourselves, I'm not talking about just as an individual. Sometimes we black melanated people have some serious answers to our solution. But who knows better than what our issues are than we? And but yet we rely on other sources to dictate to us to do this and to do that. All I'm saying is this. There are people like Dr. Butler who have solutions, who has had solutions to some of our issues. And yet sometimes when he speaks, it's fall on deaf ears. But when 60 Minutes speaks the same thing, some ears are open. And all I'm saying is that we have just as much power, just as much information as anyone else. And all I'm saying is sometimes we need to trust ourselves. As you already know, I'm in media. I publish a nationwide black newspaper in which we represent less than 1% of all media. I'm talking not just my newspaper, our newspaper, but I'm talking about all media put together, less than 1%. So therefore, the majority of information that is being hurled at us is coming from outside resources. And most likely, and I'm going to be honest with you, most of the time they do not view us in the same light as they view themselves. And so all I'm saying again is sometimes we need to look within and look out, because that clip you just showed could have saved tens of thousands of lives. Again, whether by design, you know, I'm just going to say this and I'm going to shut up. You know, every year, the so-called world leaders come together and have a summit. And usually two topics is on top of the agenda. One is overpopulation, and the other one is the environment. And they choose to deal with pretty much overpopulation most of the time. And so, therefore, if you have a problem with overpopulation, that means some people have to go. And so I'm going to leave it like that. Back to you, Reverend Satiles.
Yeah, it's always been curious to me how they come up with this overpopulation stuff. When there's so many, it's so many people in the world, but I don't really believe the planet is overpopulated.
The only thing is that if they take surveys, they say that certain segments of people are actually declining, not about birth rates and things like that. But when it came to black people, with all the contraceptives, the murders, the diseases, and everything else, we were still producing. And that poses a problem to those theories that some of the, like I say, world leaders that come up with and them. And you can take in the last 5 to 10 years, it's just about major pandemics have came on the scene. We've been on this earth thousands and thousands of years, that all of a sudden, Ebola, this come up, that come up. You know, all of this COVID, all this other stuff start appearing. And so you make a wise choice on that, where the stuff come from. But again, when they do hit, out of proportion, it hits us harder than anybody else. Why? Thank you, Brother Satan.
Yeah, thank you for those comments, David. And it does hit us more than anybody else. And my point was, how do they determine that the planet is overpopulated? And, you know, you alluded to the fact that they have what they call demarginalized populations that they feel need to be eliminated. And who determines, you know, who eliminates those people and how you go about eliminating them and causing them to no longer exist on this planet Earth. And, I mean, that's an arrogant decision by people when they make those kind of decisions. Oh, still waiting for Dr. Butler to call in. He's at a program today that he might be able to call in and he might not. So he just wanted me to go ahead, play the 60-minute piece and get some feedback from my callers. And we have two callers on the air, you, David, and Janice. And y'all both shared your comments. So on the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to deviate a little bit here and talk about Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump is a problem for this country, whether people want to admit it or not. And the question becomes, if he gets reelected, will that push America to civil war? Some people say they probably will. Some people don't want to comment on it. But what's your comments on that thing if he gets reelected?
But I'm a jump on that same comment I just made. Let me put it this way: since you mentioned Donald Trump, now I'm just using common sense. The thing that this man has said and has done, if it was anybody else of color, they would be in the jail, under the jail, out the side, put out the country, and anything else would have been long gone. Matter of fact, would have been taken out of here. Because he in line with so many thoughts in this country. When I say thoughts, people who only reason why this man is in power because a lot of people think the way he does. Or has been using on propaganda to be made or to even, I was encouraged to think the way he does. Because there's a lot of real fears in this country. There's a lot of fears about black people because of media and every other, you know, other sources. But based on what I said earlier, when a person like a Donald Trump arises and cause a threat, I'm talking about divided the entire country because of his political belief and his personal beliefs. And the average person know, based on our history in this country, I'm talking about black and white people, this man is not fit for any type of government. But yet, here he is, and he has a very strong chance of coming back into this office again. And if he does, there will be retribution. He had already said that he's going to lock up his enemies. He already has told them that. Now, who would put a threat out like that and still walks? But then again, that is the commitment because it's just not him. Look at that man over there, and I'm going to say over there in Israel. Look at what he's doing. Look at what Putin is doing over there in Russia. This is not happening. This is happening worldwide. This is a global movement. So those of you who have ears, you better listen. Those of you who have eyes, you better start seeing. Serious stuff is about to take place. But we, you know, I don't want you to fear not, because we're not the author of fear. Neither is God the author of fear. But that's why it's so important that each and every one of us stand up, take our rightful place, support ourselves. Look, I stop looking for outside, because if you continue to do so, that's why we are so dependent on so many other people to sustain us. It's time, like I said, we have to start looking within. Learn to sustain ourselves, support ourselves. That's why Israel can do what it do, because they learn to sustain themselves and have influence on people. And so, again, Brother Sitai, I appreciate you for all the work you have done and what you continue to do. But this is serious times, and I'm glad you brought him up to us, to black melanated people and to this country. He's a serious threat. Back to you, sir.
All right. Thank you for those comments, David. Janice, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah. It just shows that they still play by different rules. They got the rules for the white, and they got the rules for the blacks. That seems like that's never going to go away. And everybody that supports Trump for what he's doing is sick, just like Trump. So that goes to show half the people that, or more than half of the people that we're dealing with of the other color are sick. They just want to be in control of still black and melanin people. Okay, yeah, he said that he's going to do bad things, and they're overlooking anything that he says bad, because he also said during the resurrection that he was going to meet some people down there. They overlooked that too. So what Donald Trump is saying and what Donald Trump is doing, he's just getting away with murder because they allow him to. Don't have enough people to stand up against him. I don't know why, whether it's Democrat or I guess this is what you call democracy, but, you know, it's just a shame. I don't know whether we have a World War III, but I just know that it's not going to be in our favor if he wins. That's all I know.
All right. Thank you for your comments.
It would behoove black people to work together. Is any time in their life...
Huh? We definitely need to make sure we work. We definitely need to make sure that we work together.
Hello.
Whether we, let's go ahead, call you on air.
Yeah, how you guys doing? How y'all doing today?
Doing fine. Right.
Okay, what were you saying?
Y'all black melanated people.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So am I. And my family, and kids.
Who is that?
My name is Pianti. My name is Pianti. I'm calling from the Deep South, down the Delta region right now. It's my winter home.
Okay.
What is it that y'all say that Donald Trump done? Because me and my family, we support Donald Trump. And we're black.
Yeah, and you have a right to do that, just like everybody else has a right to choose.
I know. But what is it that she says that those that support him is evil, basically? I mean, I have it word for word.
I don't think she said evil. I think she said thinks the way he does, has his same values.
Yeah, we do. We love the United States.
That's what she was saying.
Okay,
I said
I didn't know if it was per verbatim or not.
Oh, okay, yeah. You know, so,
we support Donald Trump. We support him because of his issues. We don't support that other stuff that people say.
What is his issue? What was his issues that you're supporting?
And one of the issues that would help black kids is school choice with vouchers. Because your kid is at the bottom of the ladder. Not all, but so many of them. They can't read and can't do math. And he's the only one at that position the president ever said that he wants to see that put in place.
Did he put it in place?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. The same thing while he was in office.
He tried to put it in place. But you know who's against that? Your gatekeepers, your NAACP, your Urban Needs, your teachers' unions, the AFT-NEA, they are against that.
Well, they're not my
He put money toward your HBCUs, which are many of them are failing because the kids that come to them are not prepared. He lowered taxes. He brought back energy independence. Joe Biden is counseling new facilities for gas in Texas and Louisiana. I have grandsons that's petroleum engineers. They earn from $4,000 to $6,000 per week in that industry. So you think I like Joe Biden? Hell no. Because they went to school and took up the hard subjects and not the weak subjects, the ones that's demanding.
When did you send your children to school at, sir?
They went to LSU, which has one of the best engineering programs in the country. Didn't take out no student loans. I paid for them out of my pocket.
Amen. That's a good thing. I came
up in the Midwest as a structural steel erector. I put up my company I own, put up buildings like the ones that fell in 9/11 in New York. So I support Donald Trump.
Let me ask you something, sir. You know, and that's well,
let
I'm
me
glad
finish I, what I got to say. People talking about a civil war. See, it ain't going to be what you talking about the other side. You're going to see people that look just like you that's going to be fighting you if that's what you want.
But well, we're already doing that. We've been doing that.
Probably for a different reason.
No, it's sometimes because, you know, a lot of us have been given some crumbs off the table. A lot of us have been given some
crumbs off the table.
Yes, it is. Look, sir, don't tell me.
I do know this. You mean to tell me when I'm able to start a business that put up bridges?
I didn't say you.
Well, you saying some of us, and it's not just
some of us.
You want me to tell you many, many more?
You say what you want to say, but I know for myself.
All right. Are you in Detroit?
I'm in
Detroit, aren't you? You in Detroit, aren't you?
Okay,
let me tell you something. There's a society that's called the National Society of Black Engineers, where they've been working with black kids since the 1970s. And that's where a lot of your engineers come from. I've seen them in their national conventions in 2017, 2018, 2019, where you had national companies that come into their convention, like Northrop Grumman, and would hire over 400 brand new black STEM graduates off of the convention floor. With Northrop Grumman, they did it in 2017, 2018, along with the other major corporations that was there, like Boeing, Google, Caterpillar, the FBI and the CIA and NASA, hiring black STEM graduates. In 2019, at the Cabot Center in Detroit, in that convention, Lockheed Martin hired over 400 for their operations. So you're going to say all those kids, there's something wrong with them.
Who said that? Nobody said that but you.
So
all I'm saying
to be
is this.
They're getting crumbs.
A lot of people are getting crumbs, and you know that as well.
Well, I'm going to get in trouble. I got the whole family.
What about the majority of the black folks? Now, you mentioned a few.
Let me address that, too. Because, you know, when you look at other Africans whose skin is just as black as Leslie Snipes, like your Nigerians, they have higher educational attainment, higher household income than Asians. Is it not true? I'm telling you the truth. Prove me wrong.
You're not telling me no truth. No. You're jumping all over. You're all over there in Nigeria and every place. We're talking about the United States.
They are born here in the United States, first, second, and third generation.
So the majority of us black folks doing okay in this country, right?
Here's the thing. If you're going to mimic something, and if you want to achieve something, you will at least study those who are already achieving it and try to direct your kids in the same way. Rather than having all your kids out there at 8:30 at night shooting baskets on the basketball court and running drills on the football court, should they not be at home doing math?
I agree with you on that. What about?
Would you agree with
kids,
that?
How are these kids getting these guns in the black community when they don't manufacture guns? How are they getting these drugs in these black community when they don't produce the drugs? Where is that coming from, sir?
Do you like Brussels sprouts? I don't, and I don't eat them. People can put them in front of me all day long. I don't want them, don't like Brussels sprouts, and don't eat them. Nobody's making people
have you ever been pulled over by the police, sir?
Yes.
Why?
In 1975, one time in my entire life, because I was speeding on a motorcycle.
Ain't you lucky? I've been pulled over 7-8 times for just walking down the street.
Well, I haven't.
Well, a lot of us have.
And I know a lot of people that should be pulled over, especially those that's committing crimes like they do in what you call, quote, unquote, the black community, terrorizing people, terrorizing kids like they do in Detroit. Not Detroit. Chicago.
Wait a minute. I'll talk to you later, sir, because I'm getting a headache.
What you always do. You want us to listen to you, but you don't want us to want to listen to us.
And when I have to talk to somebody who has
I'm listening to you.
No, you're not. No, you're talking over me, sir.
Go ahead and talk. I'm listening. I think the listeners would like to hear what I got to say, too.
Sir, because you brought up some statistics. I want you to look at the larger statistics of blacks in this country. I want you to look at the statistics of how many our school systems are failing because it's unfair treatment.
All right, you want me to talk about that too?
No, I got to answer for that, sir.
I'm not finished. All right, go ahead. Let me know when you are, because I got something to answer.
Okay, I will let you know. Why is it that overpopulation of black men and women in our prison systems? Why is it, and we only 13% of the population? Why is there?
I'm not finished yet. I'm writing it down. Go ahead.
And why is it, sir, that our children are monitored from the day they go into the school system and have been put on drugs because they overacted by the pharmaceutical companies, Ritalin and everything else, and then they have to get another drug for that drug and another drug for that drug, and next thing you know, they're in the penal institution. Why are these pharmaceuticals allowed in this country to do that to our children? But I'm finished.
Let me say this. People end up in incarcerated situations because they put themselves, for whatever reason, in areas that get them in those ways. My kids ain't never been in. Your kids ain't in prison.
Is your kids in those areas?
Most of African American kids don't get in trouble. They do the right thing. And we always talk about just those small. Why don't you talk about the ones, like I said, you had 15,000 that showed up at that convention in 2019. The only reason why it haven't happened continuously because of the COVID. They don't get in trouble. Why we use that same old narrative? The reason your schools are like they are because you don't. It seems like people don't give a damn. That's why come they don't want black kids or black families to have school choice with vouchers, so those that are poor that come from functional families, they can put their child where they think is best fitted for their long-term educational goals. That's why come so many are failing. You got another question?
Yeah, what are you doing about that to help those children?
I raised kids and made so that they wouldn't become
your
a burden.
What about other children? Are you concerned about them?
I coached other kids also. And also volunteered for the National Society of Black Engineers and other ones, organizations, so that these kids don't get in become problems to the community. I work for convention, volunteer for convention of states to call the Article 5 convention, whereas the states can control the federal government. That's where the federal government gets its power from.
You say the states.
The states
control the federal government. Okay.
The states control the federal government. Yes. Read your Constitution. Anything else, sir?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to know how these drugs and all this stuff getting in our community, drugs and guns.
I got an answer for that, too. You ready?
Wow.
Because
yes,
they're coming across the southern border that's wide open with this dumb administration and this idiot for a president who for the 47 years used to be the most racist in the country, and of all blacks that voted in 2020, 80% of them voted for him. Why did you vote for him? You know what Joe Biden is about. You asked me a question, but you don't
I'll ask you something.
I'm almost finished with the thing about the drugs.
Okay, I'm going to
hear you. Did you want to answer on that?
Yes, sir.
All right, like I said before, back in his early career was strong. He said that your kids was like a jungle. He wasn't sending his kids to your school. Now you vote for him. Why? Why?
What is coming? Go ahead.
Look at his policy now. You have fentanyl coming across the country. It's killing young kids. The border
is
wide open.
Is that the only place it's coming from?
That is making the top issues in the news today.
But is that the only place it's coming from across the border?
If it's going to come, it don't come through the airports.
Oh, yes, it does.
You can't come through the airports with a
it
bag of oranges
shit.
From another country.
It comes on. Yeah, a lot of stuff is allowed in this country because corporate America's involved with it. A lot of your politics.
You can't come through the airport. You can't come through the airport with a bag of oranges through.
Unless you control the airports.
Well, then, why don't you work to stop that then?
I do.
Work to stop it.
I do.
What else question you got that you say Donald Trump is so bad at?
I didn't say Donald Trump was so bad at. I said this. You have your choice. I have my choice. Now, you sound just like the young lady said. You sound just like Donald Trump to me.
Because the issues he talk about, I support those issues. Starting back, manufacturing back in the United States, especially in those companies and areas that you have your young blacks you don't like.
Let me ask you a question, sir.
It's a thing that you just don't like people like myself to talk, do you?
Don't say that because I'm open-minded. I'm no respecter of person. Don't judge
me
like that.
You open-minded, but you don't want others to hear it. But they are because we talk like this, and a whole lot of us talk like this also. You should come visit our show.
Ain't none of us, like I say, we all individuals. And no, I'm not monolithic. I don't go with the crowd because the crowd say go this way, go. I'm an independent thinker.
Let me tell you something. Some cities like
St. Louis.
Question
before Donald Trump come along. For are you just a straight up Republican or a straight up Democrat?
I'm independent. I vote issues.
Okay, good. That's good.
I vote issues, and when on my voters.
Have you ever voted for? Have you ever voted for a Democrat? Have you ever voted
yes,
for a
I
Democratic?
Have. I can name them to you. But I'm gonna tell you this: on my voter registration, when asked about my race, I said other. I did not indicate black. You know why? Because you got some crazy judges who use that data to go about trying to create segregated voting districts. So we
Why would people do something like that, sir?
Well, have you not read? You had a judge want to put that in place in Louisiana. They wanted to put it in place in Mississippi and Alabama.
Why would people do something like that, sir? This great and wonderful country.
They have judges that do try to do that.
Oh,
they got some liberal judges, and let me tell you why they do that. They trying to create segregated districts. That's what they're trying to do. Now, let me ask you
Did Donald Trump try to do segregation stuff?
No, he didn't. You won't let me answer it, will you? On your question,
like
why they would do something like
that. Like a foot.
God, daughter, sir, you a grandfather. Come on now. Well, you got kids listening to you.
I'm listening
now,
to you.
Now, as I said before.
Speak.
I said before. They put it like
personal.
That.
Just speak.
Well, we have to address, when you go stand in front of your maker, you got to answer for who? Your own personal sins.
Yeah, so don't classify us in the same boat then, sir.
You the only one that's talking over me.
Well, you talk over me. That's fair.
You told me to go ahead and talk. You asked me a question.
Well, you told me that as well, so go ahead and speak, sir.
And I'm trying to answer the question about the voting district. Now, if you don't want to hear the question about it,
go ahead and speak, sir.
Well, like I said before, they try to create segregated voting district, which is illegal. Because if you create a segregated voting district, next come segregated schools. And then if you got an all-black voting district, you're going to have what? All-black schools. Then here come your gatekeepers once again. We got to start busing kids, busing whites into the black school segregated voting district. People don't want to do that. People move because they want to get into some area that's better, better schools, better property values, and less crime. On that question, I'm passing it to you. Are you still there, or did y'all hang up on me? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we hang up on you, sir. No. That's going to conclude our show for the day.
You know what? I don't know your name, sir, but you know I'm telling the truth. You know it's the truth. Tell me something I've said that wasn't the truth. Please, help me out so I don't say it again.
He's talking to you.
He's talking to
you. He's talking to me.
I'm talking to not you, the other gentleman.
Okay.
Do you have any questions to ask me of why I think the way I think?
No, I understand the way you think. I went to the University of New Orleans, and I was the one that ran David Duke off the campus. I was president of the NAACP, so, you know,
I grew up in St. Louis. I grew up in St. Louis where black preachers ran King out of the city when he tried to come in there. Back in 1960, around in the 60s.
And so let me
they ran him out. They said, I can name you the preachers. They said they didn't want him in St. Louis.
So that goes through the point that you got some people on the left as there's some people on the right. No matter what the subject matter may be, there's always going to be some people who will disagree with you. And this was this country supposed to be made of. We supposed to have independent thought. But unfortunately, in this country, the United States of America, a segment of people was brought here in slavery, and we are remnant of that people, and we are still suffering because the playing field has never been equal, and probably until this time never have been. And for a few of us, yes, there have made some success in this country. Some of us have made some success. Even I made some success. But for the majority of us are still being killed by the system, by police and everything else. There's still a majority of us are being given drugs. See, I ain't talking about the drugs like fentanyl and heroin. I'm talking about Ritalin and things like that. There are still schools that are unequally financed. There's still some school systems or corporations that will not hire us, no matter how good our qualifications may be. I shut up and let you talk. And all I'm saying is just allow me to speak, sir.
All right.
I believe in God. I believe that all men are created. I don't have this white thing against black thing. I believe it all. Right. But there is a systematic thing in the United States where it does not treat all of its citizens fair. There are certain people in this country who do have privileges over others. There's a certain segment of this society that thinks they are better than the other. I close with that, bro.
Well, you talked about certain things. Name me something you can't do that I can't do, or I can't do that you can do. Name me something.
Well, you look just like me, so you will get the same issues I get.
Well, then name some. You ran off a whole list of stuff. Let me see right here.
Them.
Yeah, right here. I wrote it down. I wrote it down. So tell me.
Well, sir, I worked with a company. I went in there as a black man, and I was very qualified, and I trained quite a few people in that office, and they ended up being my supervisor.
What time frame was that, sir?
No, it does not matter. It happened in my time frame.
Okay, let's be fair. Today, in 2024. Tell
I'm
me something
years old.
That's stopping.
I'm
Wait a minute.
I'm
see, now you won't let me talk.
You
won't let me talk.
You just asked me a question. I answered it.
All right. So, like I said before, and I wrote everything, tried to catch up and write everything down you made. Tell me something today in 2024 that black children cannot go out for and succeed in if they qualify. Name me something.
Well, if I lived in Florida about 5 or 6 years ago, if I went to the store and came back with some Skittles, I would still be alive, but some of us didn't.
Well, the same thing is in Chicago, where in 2019 you had 4,875 blacks shot by other blacks. No white police shot nobody.
How do you know that, sir? How do you
because
know that?
Because it's reported. It's reported.
No,
in the
it's not reported. It's
reported.
There you go by that
propaganda
stuff. No, I'm not going to let you because
you're
telling
me
a lie right now. You lie
right now. It ain't a
lie.
It's in the paper.
It is a lie.
Chicago Sun-Times. The Chicago
How many times did that report say that these white vigilante organizations came in and killed a lot of black and didn't report?
It didn't talk about that. It talked about what happened
That's why
the
I said
night
it's a lie.
Before.
That's why I'm telling you it's a lie.
Well, no matter what I say, you're going to say it's a lie.
No, I'm not.
And then you just
said
earlier that other people have their own opinions.
So Tommy, he's making this thing so personal. I can't even have a decent conversation with him.
I tell you what, let the other gentleman ask me the question.
Wait, let him ask. Yeah, because I'm about had it with you.
That's all the time we have for today, y'all.
Well, let me say this: you need to stop with this narrative that it ain't no we. The only we is your own family. You don't speak for my black family, and I don't speak for yours. I don't shop in your black stores when you supporting a Lights
Woo.
Of a Maxine Waters.
Woo!
You understand that?
No, I don't understand that, and I don't understand
you need to get with me.
You're not going to shop in the black store because of Maxine Waters. That's a good thing.
I don't support things that don't support my interests. What sense does that make?
Then why are you on this call?
I thought it was some sensible people that would like to listen to the other side,
well, so
like
now
you
we
said
not, so
earlier.
Now we,
but
so
apparently
now
you don't.
Even, so now we're not even sensible. Ain't that something?
Now you don't want to hear the other side. Let me tell
not
you something.
Me.
It does exist. It may be quiet and not as vocal like I am because nobody can hold something over my head. But it exists.
Sir, could you state your name again, please? Sir, could you state
sir?
Your name again, please?
My name is Piankai. And what's your name, sir?
My name is Satawi Jahi. I'm the host of the show.
Oh, that's very good. I like the way you have responded to the questions. You didn't try to talk over nobody. You just listened. That's the way it is.
You're just like a lot of other people. You're a lot of other people. Only voice you want to be heard is your own. That's the only reason you have.
No. Well, you see that guy right there? All I did was try to answer his question, and he didn't like the answer.
No, you didn't. You didn't answer
him. I did try to answer
the
question.
All
you
tried to
like
do is what
answer.
You did, what you did, and what we don't do,
Let
and
me
how
say
you
this.
Think,
what,
and
I
we
don't know
what,
what's his name. What's your name, sir?
I'm not going to even tell you mine. I ain't going to give you the specific.
Well, you know why? You know why? Because you don't like me, now do you? You don't like me.
I don't
me.
Know you. I don't even know you.
No, you know
you
enough
me?
About me
you
already from what I've said that you don't like me.
Opinion is like an asshole. Everybody has one.
There you go. Now you're going to start to call a name. I'm
I
surprised you didn't
tell.
Cut me off.
I tell you
I'm surprised you ain't
me.
Cut me off.
I tell you one thing good thing about
well, I tell you what, rather than argue, let's ask the questions and answers. Sir, the host of the show, do you have any questions?
No, I'll just let y'all know it's the time.
Yeah.
I've come to an end.
I can't hear you, sir, because he's talking over you. He don't want you even to say anything.
Our show has come to an end, and we have to close this down for the time being. So thank you for your comments.
Well, I appreciate you letting me speak on your show, although I was interrupted by the other gentleman. He's angry now. Go get a drink of water,
and you
a drink of milk, sir. You'll be all right.
People like me.
You'll be all right.
You will continue to be interrupted by people like me, sir. I guarantee you.
You'll be all right. Just take it easy. Take a deep breath. I'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was an interesting dialogue and conversation. We'll close out with our theme song, It's My Time.
I'm in the forward light for all to see.
Okay, goodbye. And we had an interesting dialogue on that Donald Trump thing. And catch y'all next Saturday. I'll catch you Monday night for the National Black Unity News podcast. All right. Thank you for tuning in.